Are you suffering from back pain? Well, I've got the thing just for you. 15 surefire tips for relieving back pain, plus 192 others just in case, volume 1, available at Amazon.com. Over 30 million Americans are suffering with back pain at this very moment. The vast majority of these cases are either caused or exacerbated by common lifestyle factors. Many of the same factors may be causing you pain right now. Join board-certified physician Andrew Kirshner as he guides you through the parts of your life where these problems occur and gives you simple, safe, and effective solutions for these common daily pitfalls. In this fun and informative book, you will learn how to identify the aspects of your life which may be causing you pain, how to create a back-friendly environment, how you can improve your pain by improving your sleep, ways to make a pain-free commute, how you can perform daily activities without making your pain worse, and much more. Andrew Kirshner is so well respected in the field of back pain relief. He has, you know, famous clients such as DJ Jazzy Jeff. He has done many talks and lectures at universities in the UK. He has appeared on QVC demonstrating back pain relief products, and that is because he is an expert in his field and people trust him. Also, check out the 5-star reviews on Amazon.com. This is the book that you need if you suffer from back pain. That's 15 surefire tips for relieving back pain, plus 192 others just in case, volume 1, available at Amazon.com in paperback. Check the link below the show for more information.
Colin Delaney.
Animaniacs, those are the facts.
Oh my God. Who does he think he is? Come around here with his bloody podcasts.
Hello kids, and welcome to Turnchuckle with myself, Pablo, and a man who has won more WWE matches than Sting, Colin Delaney. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh shit, that's the greatest fact I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, and you know, as you know by now, I like to pepper you with just pointless, you know, facts that you can use at parties and stuff like that that make you just sound, you know, amazing.
Like a crazy person.
Oh, like a crazy person. But, So, yeah, you are the extremely cute co-host. You're so cute. You must You must get that a lot. Like,
in that exact tone, I get that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And with us is our special guest, Ring of Honor superstar and general all-round sexy man, Dalton Castle. How are you doing today?
I don't know where that other moniker came from, but thank you.
Well, well, you know, again, you know, I like to sort of shower the guests with compliments, and then we just go downhill from there.
Or sexual harassment. You know, tomato, tomato.
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah. Let's call the whole thing.
I've actually heard him referred to as the latter more than Ring of Honor superstar.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, I said to Colin yesterday as well that that Dalton has rated quite highly and favorably on many of my gay friends' fuck, marry, kill lists, so... Not many.
It's probably people. That big bushy beard he's got going these days. So handsome.
He was talking about you.
Yeah, he was talking about you.
I mean,
yeah, but
Hey.
Most of his gay friends want to kill me.
Oh, poor guy.
See, I think Colin's more of a housewife's favorite, I think. So, yeah, see, awkward start, out the way, we're fine. So, yeah, you two go back a long way, all the way back to kindergarten. So, like, did you just hate each other then, or is it something that's just grown over time?
Did we
Here's the thing. I knew when you asked if we could have Dalton on, that would probably be me and Dalton just catching up over the phone for a little while.
That's okay. The less work I need to do, the better, so it's fine.
And then you can pepper in questions about the boys where you find necessary.
Okay. Okay, well...
Yeah, Colin and I have known each other almost a lifetime, pretty much, right? Kindergarten. And then we you were my friend. We used to eat lunch together. You were the strange kid who used to eat straw wrappers. So that that made me instantly think you were the coolest.
Right.
And then was it second grade you switched schools?
Yeah, I switched schools after first grade. In second grade, I went to a different school, so we parted ways. But there are definitely pictures of Dalton at my first grade birthday party. Man, if I had a bachelor party in first grade, that would have been a rager. It would have been probably exactly like my first grade birthday party where we went to USA Skate.
Yeah, Colin's parents were real old school. He was already in an arranged marriage in first grade.
So was it easy for you to keep in touch when you changed school? Because obviously pre-social media and stuff like that.
No, we lost touch. And then, when we were about 15, I had become – in second grade, Jimmy Olsen came to be in my class, and we became best friends. And then when we were about 15, Jimmy started being a pro wrestler or training to be a pro wrestler, so I would travel with him. And at the same time, there was this young kid named Colin – at the schools, being a ring announcer, who ended up being tag team partners with Jimmy, where we were just like, wait a minute, we used to be good friends back at your bachelor party.
You look familiar. Hold on, hold all these dollar bills and let's get a stripper next to you. That's you from first grade.
Quick, put on these four-wheel skates, the brown ones with the orange laces that you have to rent.
Right.
So, Dalton, you were, I've done some research, unless it's completely, completely wrong, that you were doing amateur wrestling at the time, and whilst Colin and Jimmy were sort of looking to make roads into professional wrestling, and they kind of convinced you to take that route. Is that correct, or am I just...
Yeah, awesome. Colin is a huge part in where I am today, or the reason I am. I remember, do you remember the night, I think you were still on TV at the time, Colin, where you would, you had all your weeknights free because you were a pro wrestler, and I was working at the radio station doing these weird, like, late night events, like hanging posters and stuff, and doing stupid nighttime radio, and me and Colin would just go out drinking on the weeknights because we're adults and we could do that. And one night we're in some crappy Rochester club or bar, and I remember it was real mafiosa style. We're in a booth, and Colin had on one side with his arm around me and Jimmy on the other, and they just cornered me in a booth, and they're like, what are you doing, man? But like, why aren't you doing this? You should be wrestling. And I was like, oh, you're right.
Yeah, because Pablo, what you need to understand, that even at my first grade bachelor party, Dalton looked exactly like that. All of those muscles and all of that charisma since my first grade bachelor party. So then he's bumming around Rochester, like radio DJing and like doing these random events where we work at the same place, where he's working at the same place where I had my first grade bachelor party, and giving out prizes, like rigging lap dance contests so I would win, like stupid stuff like that. He had all these muscles and all of that charisma. It was crazy.
So were you kind of the guy to go to in the town for that kind of stuff?
What are you talking about?
Like just for events and promotions?
Yeah. I could throw a t-shirt out like nobody's business.
He was a local radio DJ.
Yeah, it's really sad. I don't know if you know the glamour of radio, but what they do is you're on air all week, and then you'll be like, hey, I'm going to be out at Shenanigans later for happy hour, 2 hours on Tuesday night. Come on out. We're going to be spinning the wheel for prizes. And then you go out there, and nobody wants you there. You have to talk into a microphone in a room where you could probably just speak loudly and everybody could hear you. Mm. And you just give away crap prizes like the first season of Hot in Cleveland on DVD.
See, that sounds like a good prize. Or maybe not.
No. It's so degrading. But that's the path. That's what I went to school for. I wanted to be in broadcasting. And that was my option at the time.
See, I wanted to get into radio at the time, or I thought I did, and then I realized that I didn't know enough about any particular subject to talk about it at great length apart from wrestling, and you know, I don't think many people would have wanted to have heard that. So that's why podcasts are a great thing, because you can be as niche as you want and just, you know, be as, you know, filthy as you want as well, which is tremendous.
Because your audience can find you now.
Mm-hmm. This is true. So so you know, when you were
yelling. Yeah, I feel like I'm yelling.
It's fine.
You always yell, Dalton.
I speak loudly because I want to be heard.
I also love that you use your radio voice that you claimed you didn't have a radio voice, but when you do radio voice, it sounds exactly like the voice you used to use on the radio.
You shut your dick. That was me making fun of a guy that I am not.
Dalton also used to, sometimes they would make him do like the traffic reports or the weather reports, and so sometimes I would just be driving home and they'd be like, and we have Dalton with the weather, and then he could do the weather or the traffic just fine, but when they would have to have him read advertisements, listen, you're not allowed to be that handsome and also smart, so sometimes words would come out a bit wrong. Like my favorite one, there was something about a Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, which is a car, where he pronounced it, come in now and test drive the new Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo. And I would love to hear, every time he'd get off air, I would immediately call him, hey, you know the words Laredo? And he'd be like, it is? Shit. Which, I knew it sounded wrong.
Because that wasn't the first station I read that ad on. And like you were probably like warning me four times too late.
So at that time, when you were doing those events, did you ever have like agents and people like that come to you to want to represent you, to help get you, say, TV work and stuff?
Yeah, their name was Colin Delaney and Jimmy Olsen. They scouted me. They picked me out of a crowd and said, you kids, you got it. And then they took their big cigars and put them in their mouths. Yeah, it was great.
So did you you start training immediately then with Colin? Or?
Yeah. Colin was there to help me train. Him and Jimmy kind of trained me at Hellcats. Hellcat was the guy who had a school in Rochester. He still does. What's the school called now? It's changed.
Kayfabe Dojo.
Oh, that's the name of it.
Been there forever.
And no, I thought because the company name changed, I thought maybe the school did too.
Nah, the school name has remained true all the way throughout, despite most of our not really enjoyment of it.
So the school name's keeping that kayfabe?
Yeah.
So when is that when you took your first bump then? What was it like? Did you just
want to...
No. First bump.
Okay.
We gotta go time traveling. About, I don't know, 8 years prior to that.
We got Dalton booked on shows with literally no training, having no idea how to run the ropes, in like garages just to entertain us.
Yeah. They were moving the school, I remember, and it was like the last show they were doing in this building, and to make everybody laugh, the owner and all the boys convinced the owner that I should have a match. So he says, all right, let's do it. And then I just remember everybody scrounging through their bags, finding extra gear for me to wear.
Yeah.
Yep. I was like in a potpourri costume. It was pretty sweet.
That's actually where he got his actual current ring gear.
Yeah, haven't changed yet.
out of everybody's collective bags in 2004, 2003.
I just show up and I go, does anybody have knee pads? And I just go through everybody's gear. So I wear something different every show.
You just show up to the show and be Marty Jannetty?
Has he done that?
You didn't know that? That's Marty Jannetty's gimmick.
What?
Being a bad, just a thrift store?
He shows up without gear.
Really?
And he just borrows it from people, yeah. I've seen him do it a bunch of times.
For someone who had so much different ring gear as well, and you know, wore different colors and stuff, what if someone only had, like a swimsuit onesie or something.
Yeah, Pablo, but like his gear was all like in It was all tattered, so that stuff doesn't last very long.
Okay, it's fair enough.
He would just show up and like, but he would borrow like knee pads and boots, and then wear like gym shorts and like a Under Armour top.
That's kind of assuming that people would have had spares with them, because if they didn't, that would have had to have been that naked Marty Jannetty gimmick that no one would have.
No, people didn't have spares. They were just giving their actual ring gear to Marty Jannetty to wear because he's Marty Jannetty.
Okay. So when you start training with Colin, that was around 2003, 2004. So it's kind of weird.
No.
Oh, was that late?
2008.
That's just when we tricked him into getting into a ring other people's gear. But he started training in around 2008.
Yeah. Okay. So was this a result of you being on TV sort of thing? Did that mean that you could, like, when you were on TV, did your connections automatically grow overnight sort of thing, and people were willing to help out and do favors and stuff like that? Oh.
Where are you in this timeline? Oh, you mean Colin on TV?
Yeah, Colin, yeah.
I think I was pretty fresh off TV around the time when Dalton started, or I was, like, winding down in my run. But, well, like he was saying earlier, when I was on TV, I had nothing but time, because I would fly out Monday, wrestle Tuesday, fly home Wednesday morning, and then just have all that time to do literally whatever I wanted. So the school, going up to the wrestling school, I would go there all the time. That was easy.
Mm-hmm. There were never any like contractual, restrictions and things like that, or.
I don't know. That would involve me reading the contract.
Okay.
That sounded like a real snoozer, so I just kind of skipped it and signed it.
No, my guess is there was nothing wrong with that in the contract. Hey, you can't work out.
Thanks for trying to bail me out of that situation, Dalton.
I got you, baby.
See, this is like, okay, so, because it's kind of weird as a fan that I am now the same age or older than, like, a lot of wrestlers now, so, like, I kind of keep forgetting that wrestlers that I talk to are my age and didn't train in, like, 1975 in, you know, Tennessee or something like that. So it's kind of weird. That's why, like, the timeline kind of, like, fucks me over sometimes, because 2003, around that time, you know, you were very, obviously you take a lot from the more theatrical musicians like Freddie Mercury, Justin Hawkins, that kind of thing. So were they
Lady Gaga
as well? So if, like, at that time, were they kind of shaping what you saw as an image, or did you know what you wanted to be at that time?
No, not at all. It was just, let's get this kid ring ready, I think, right?
Like, yeah, well, I mean, like I said, he's since my first grade bachelor party, which I'm not going to stop referring to.
there's a t-shirt idea.
Yeah, he just has the natural charisma, as David Lee Roth would call it. So we just knew that if we just got him ready to be in a ring, that the rest of it would just kind of eventually fall into place.
You say charisma, others say loud and obnoxious.
yeah, That's the ring announcer, though.
Oh, loud and noxious. Aw. R.I.P.
So you were easily hated. Oh.
He didn't. He's in L.A.
Well, there's actually a lot of people, like prominent professional wrestlers now, who still know Dalton as the Roadie. And some of them actually despised him back in the day because he was literally just me and Jimmy's loud and obnoxious friend who would come with us on road trips and be loud and obnoxious.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, it had a give and take, though. I mean, I may have burned a lot of bridges that way, but I built bridges and friendships, too, for to be used that I didn't know I was going to need down the road when I started wrestling. Never knew I was going to wrestle. I honestly, Pablo, the luckiest person in the world I am when it comes to pro wrestling. I kind of just I hung out with the right people. I befriended the right people, like Colin and Jimmy and Cheech and Cloudy and Harper, and it just. And then they took me on the road with them, and I met all these people. And then, like, I built all these relationships. And then someone was like, hey, you should wrestle. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got all the answers to the tests that are coming up. I should do that. which I don't know if that metaphor even worked. That worked?
No, it works. Yeah, okay. It works. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, because you were already on the road. You sat in those cars with us for 6-7 hours, hearing us talk about what worked and what didn't, and the ring psychology of it, and the thought process behind why it does and doesn't work. So you already had that insight into that. So that was something you didn't even have to pick up. Like Dalton's actual training was probably the quickest turnaround in wrestling history.
Because
he'd already watched us do all this stuff. He'd already heard us talk about all this stuff. So he'd be like, do this. And he would just do it. And we're like, oh, shit. Okay, I guess let's move on to the next thing.
Go for it.
Oh, I was lucky, like, right from the start, just to be able to train. I somehow convinced the guy who owned the school, Hellcat, to like me. He used to let me into all the shows and hang out and do all these things. I mean, he used to let me help out and set up the ring and stuff. But then when it came time that they wanted to train me, he had no problem at all with it. They said, yeah, he let them bring me into the school and use his ring. And even he helped out. And if he saw something I was doing wrong, he would put his input and stuff. It was crazy.
When you were first starting out, though, did you get the impression that people, obviously Colin saw this in you, but like with your look, did people sort of see potential money in you at the time?
Maybe. I think probably. They just all want. Yeah, I don't think they saw their money. I don't know. I think people are just being nice. It's not 1972. Nobody wanted to get my 10%.
Okay. Again, you know, I keep thinking that you were trained in 1975 in Memphis. At that time as well, you know, like say you were, you know, quite influenced. You know, you come down to the ring to I Want It All and Queen are the greatest band in the world, and I'll not hear anything said differently about that. But
you have to say that because you're British.
No, because surely I would say the Beatles, if anything.
They're not.
Yeah,
Hold on. Can we take a step back? You would say the Beatles over Queen?
No, Queen are my favorite band, but I think generally British people you would expect to say probably the Beatles, surely.
I guess.
No.
Mm. If you're into that.
Do you not think they are like the biggest band in the world? I mean, they are bigger than Queen. People know who they are more, I would say.
But has there ever been a lady living in a palace named after that band, the Beatles?
let me think. No, there hasn't. No, look. Right. Yeah, look. I have a Brian May guitar, and I've got all the albums and all the demos. And yeah, I'm such a fucking nerd for music. They influence just about everything, apart from the stage presentation. I don't wear a cat suit on stage. I don't have the physique for that. Oh, there's Colin. Colin's disappeared.
Oh, well, the thing about...
We'll have more fun without Colin anyway, it's fine.
He's coming back, right?
There he is.
Hey, I left the range of the Wi-Fi that I was in.
You did this last time, I mean.
No, I think David Starr did it last time.
Oh, yeah.
David Starr and his wandering legs.
Yeah, and his concrete knees.
He broke your face.
Yeah, we had a whole podcast about it.
Well, I heard about 20 minutes of it. Listen to it.
We don't get into him breaking my face, but then once we do get into him breaking my face, it comes up more than my first grade bachelor party.
So where were we any of this? I don't know. This podcast.
What were those words?
British? Where were we with any of this? This podcast is held together by sticky tape, so I don't think it matters.
We were talking about the Beatles and Queen, but then I tried to walk outside, and that was a mistake.
See, that's why I'm inside, but I have like 10 fans on at the moment with the window open, because like, this is unseasonably warm weather here. You're probably used to it, but... I say unseasonably warm. It is actually spring, but it's actually more warm than it should be for spring.
I was going to say, I live in Rochester, New York. It snows 9 months out of the year here.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't realize that. I thought New York would just kind of be kind of hot and kind of stuffy because of all the buildings?
No, never. It's like right now it's, I mean, it's in the 70s, I guess. It's warm, but it's not unbearable.
This is a really cool podcast. You guys talk about the weather. Oh,
we talked about
fucking riveting.
Yeah, we talked about tax evasion at one point, and we cut that out because we thought it would maybe turn too many people off. So yeah,
anyway. I like to like, you know, attempt to get myself in trouble on those podcasts a lot. Like earlier, you bailed me out on that not reading the WWE contract thing. But like sometimes I say things and I mean them, but I probably shouldn't be.
Oh, because they're incriminating?
Yeah, I do it a lot on here.
This should just be called Colin's Confessions.
Yeah, I really do just use this podcast as therapy.
Well, that's good. I don't mind. So yeah, anyway, let's drag us somewhat back to wrestling. In terms of influences, when you were hosting your radio shows as well, was that just an excuse to play a lot of the music that you liked, or were you know, sort of the glam rock kind of stuff? Or...
No, it was an excuse to test out jokes and try to be entertaining in some way. Because in radio, you don't choose the music. That's not how that works at all. That's a myth. It's crap. There's somebody who they pay to make a playlist to last all day. He's called the program director, or she's called the program director, and they try to target a certain demographic, and they also try to put a certain song that's topping the charts to play a certain number of times. It's really this horrible what's the word I'm looking for? Algorithm.
You thought that weather talk was boring. Let's listen to Dalton describe what a program director does.
Oh, what I'm getting to is radio is bullshit.
Okay.
And then they put these talentless hacks on the radio, like me, to talk between the songs, where if you attempt to be entertaining in any way, they will always say, hey, just stick to the music stuff. Just get in and out. Tell them you're going to be at Flappers later.
So
tell them about the t-shirts we're gonna have.
So I'm guessing when you were watching wrestling, the Attitude Era was kind of your era, or is that just a general kind of misconception of because of age and stuff like that?
What was the question?
I word questions far too I put far too many words in there. So did you watch the Attitude Era? Was that like your thing?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I think I missed a little bit of the tail end. There, I like most people, I was really heavy into it when I was a kid. Middle school, I watched, and right about maybe, I'd say, 8th or 9th grade, I stopped watching, and then got back into watching junior year in high school and college.
Mm. So did you watch much before that time then? Because Colin and I have discussed at length WrestleMania 9. I think we are like the only two people in the world who really, really enjoy that event. So did you watch it pre-Attitude Era? Like, did the sort of more colorful characters sort of connect with you in any way? Or was it more the adult-themed kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, when I was real, real young, there was no... I couldn't distinguish the difference between like WCW and WWE. I didn't know... They were different, or WWF. I didn't know they were different. I just knew there was wrestling. I was a little kid. My brothers would have it on Saturdays or whatever. And I would just watch whatever program we had on. And I think my earliest memory, and I don't ever want to double check this, but you and your encyclopedia brain is going to tell me what really happened.
Oh, it's Colin. Thanks, Colin. Yeah, see, I have trouble enough trying to have some kind of, you know, social life and actual credibility amongst friends without people I don't know knowing what a fucking nerd I am. But yeah, okay, anyway.
I don't remember what I saw first, but it was either Marty Jannetty going through the glass, mm-hmm. or there was this, was it one of the Killer Bees was wrestling as Yellow Dog, I think. I don't even remember who was it.
It was Brian Pillman.
Okay. I don't remember why somebody was Yellow Dog, but I remember Yellow Dog was there, and I thought he was the coolest wrestler in the world because he had a mask, and he was yellow, and he was a dog. And then I remember, this is what blew my mind. They went to take his mask off, and they're like, get his mask off, and we're going to see what's under here. boom, he had another mask on.
Yeah, he actually came he came down to the ring with a Labrador as well, a golden Labrador.
Oh.
Yeah. And
why I loved him.
The one match that I remember, and I think this is cut on the network, he has a match against Johnny B. Badd, and Brian Pillman's voice is so, you know, distinctive. He goes to the camera, "Johnny B. Badd, Johnny B. Gay." And that, yeah, and the network the network cuts that out. Which, yeah. But I love that your yellow dog is...
He's happy.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I love that yellow dog is one of your first memories. That's...
I don't know how young I was, but I remember that sticking out like clear as day. I'm just thinking it was so cool. I'm like, oh my God, he had another mask. I'm running around the living room, like jumping on the couch. What a
genius.
Smart move. You always wear another mask, just in case.
Yeah, I do love that, you know, in wrestling... Taking your mask off is almost like losing a superpower. You know, that it kind of is. You know, the crowd are like, take his mask off. And it's like, well, is that going to make him lose the match? Then, you know.
Well, it's embarrassing. People are going to know he's a pro wrestler.
You would think back in 92, Yellow Dog was wearing double masks. But then, you know, we're in 2017 now. Why isn't everyone wearing double masks?
Right? Maybe because of the global... climate change, it's a little warmer.
Back to the weather.
Yeah.
I remember a mask match with Kane against Vader, and the loser had to take their mask off, and Vader lost the match. And Vader, who has had his mask off...
Vader always had his mask off.
Yeah, so it just didn't matter.
Who's peeing? Somebody's peeing.
Yeah, Colin.
It's definitely not me. I would never do that on a podcast while we are recording. That is just bad form.
Yeah.
One up, Steph.
Could have been worse.
I'm intrigued. Let's be real.
Okay.
You done?
Kind of a relaxing sound, kind of.
All right, I'm done.
Like a waterfall.
Do you think it'd be a tell if Vader did double masks? You could totally.
Especially when the one underneath was opposite of the one he was wearing and a different color.
It was just a white lucha mask underneath.
They take the red one off and they're like, he's got another mask under there.
Yeah.
I remember we were back, we used to backyard wrestle, and we would all like take turns reffing, but like, and we would wear my soccer referee jersey. I used to ref soccer games when I was younger. And we would use them in our backyard wrestling matches. And I interfered in a match as the ref. Like, I kicked the guy, and then I took my ref jersey off to reveal, like, a shirt underneath that said bananas on it, because their team was going to be the bananas. And the kid was filming, because, you know, if you're filming, you obviously have to commentate, too. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, my God, it was the roadie all along. I wasn't wearing a mask. Just took a shirt off.
See, that's a very NWO thing to do as well, isn't it? So,
the magic of backyard wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably get this a lot, but with the sort of Dalton Castle character, were you influenced by sort of characters like Adrian Adonis and Goldust and stuff like that? I mean, you know, were you consciously trying to? And again, you've probably been asked this question a lot, but sort of, you know, push the button of, you know, the potential homophobic side of wrestling fans to get that reaction?
No, I'm not trying that. I'm just trying to be comfortable. Me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to weird anybody out or because I don't think people should be weirded out by anything
totally agree.
So I don't want to influence any way and to feel any way other than like people for who they are. I mean, this is who Dalton Castle is. Be entertained and like him for the wrestling, not because you give a shit on who he's interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people always say that like the best wrestling characters are the person in real life just kind of turned up to a 10. And that's basically what Dalton Castle is. He gives both male and females boners. So.
So
and yellow Labrador retrievers.
Mostly yellow Labrador retrievers.
See, if you do your next show and the boys both have Labradors with them, that would be amazing.
I think they could ride labs to the ring.
If the boys were just Labrador retrievers in those masks, I would lose it.
Well, I mean, who's to say they're not?
That's true. We've never seen them without their masks.
Holy shit.
Wait a second. That's two Labrador retrievers.
See, oh my God. See, oh God, the next level, which would be kind of, you know, take care of all the minority groups and have two midgets as the boys ride the Labrador.
Easy, ooh, hey, throwing M words around.
And we've talked about this, and I asked David Starr whether the word midget was fine within the context of wrestling. Like, Hornswoggle would probably happily call it midget wrestling.
Oh, so David Starr is...
the expert on midget wrestling.
A midget.
Oh, okay.
David Starr's a midget.
Yeah. He is unproportional.
This is how he finds out. He found out on our podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. Easy.
Next, on a very special Turnchuckle, David Starr finds out he's a midget.
See, what's the difference, though? Midget is... that's proportional, and the other one is...
David Starr is not.
Okay. See, it's fine. I don't think midget's offensive, is it? It's not for me to say, probably.
I don't think that's for you to decide. Yeah.
No, it's probably not for me to decide, but, you know. But within wrestling, it's fine. Do you not think?
It used to be.
I'm trying to justify this. I've dug myself into
it's,
a complete...
But listen. It's fine.
I want to say that, like, the children's, like, football league, like, one of the divisions was called midgets. Like, there's Pee Wee.
Yeah, and what about little Tootsie Rolls?
What? Wait, what about them?
They're called midgets.
No, they're not.
What? Really?
Yeah, they are.
Tootsie Rolls. I'm Googling.
So can we call midget wrestling Tootsie Roll Wrestling? Would that be better with you, Dalton?
Well, do you remember when they called them the junior division for a little while? And you had Super Porky, and, you know, I think all the midget wrestlers, though, are stereotypes of something, though.
Colin, you're wrong. They say midgies.
Wow. That's even worse, I think.
Well, a midgie over here is a tiny little fly that would, you know, come out in the summer and you end up covered in midgies. That's, yeah.
You made that up.
I swear to God, I haven't made that up.
You made that up because you know we're both American as shit and can't. To fight you on it.
I think we're crossing the international language accent barrier here, and I'm losing.
Yeah, what you got to realize is that me and Dalton Castle shit apple pie.
Okay.
Yeah, we make love to the American roads on our 4x4 Ford trucks.
Yeah, with the Hemis in them, and we only watch movies about war and old football reels.
I've been working on my new kitchen floor with my circular saw.
That's right. And we only watch our pornography with two ladies.
Gunmetal black is my favorite color next to red, white, and blue.
Oh, shit.
There's a gimmick here.
Gimmick? You're a gimmick. We're living the dream. The American dream.
Yeah. You midgie.
That country is the greatest country in the world because we got liberty, freedom. Don't even get me started with the justice for all.
Yeah,
Colin, you got some justice?
And the pursuit of happiness. Yeah, I love that Will Smith movie.
Manifest Destiny.
Yeah.
When you say justice, you mean Sid Justice.
Yep. Nope.
No?
Dick Justice.
Dick Justice.
America.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I think we've gone completely down the rabbit hole now.
Nope.
No?
You want to talk about Dick Justice? Love him.
We're going to have to get
I introduced Pablo to Dick Justice, the movie, recently.
I know. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
He was unfamiliar with the man, the myth, the legend.
Or he kills like 1,000 Ricky Shane pages.
Yes.
There's too many Ricky Shane pages.
Never too many. Never too many.
With WWE and, you know, kind of. Well, no, it's really not the only game in town. There's so much going on. Independent wrestling is so strong at the moment. But do you think there's more of a emphasis now on really standing out and having that original character more than there has been over the past sort of few years?
I don't know what the start of that question was.
Okay.
I told you, Dalton's not very good at listening or reading.
That's okay. I'm not very good at talking. I shouldn't have a podcast, really. So, do you think that there's more emphasis now on sort of having an original character that, you know, not that WWE is obviously the biggest thing out there, but it's obviously not everyone's main aim. Is it, you know, more important to have that original character now and really make a name for yourself and use social media and online stuff and, you know?
I think the walls have been taken down so much that we're all a community. We're all in this together, the crowd and the wrestlers. So just being a great wrestler isn't going to really help you stand out as much. Mm-hmm. So people want to be entertained. I want to be entertained. Like, I never really, when I sat down, I've never thought, what's going to make me be different? It was what's going to make me feel like I'm entertaining. So I feel like it's going to help you stand out quicker. Mm-hmm. Being a great wrestler, there's always a place for that. And you need to do that on top of that. Because if you've got a great character and you can't wrestle, then you're not going to last. You might get that little spark where everyone's like, oh, that's right. Interesting. I see that right. Shiny thing.
But also think about it this way. To be a great wrestler and to be successful, you have to be one of the absolute out-and-out best wrestlers on the planet. To be great and then have that character, because there really is so many great wrestlers out there. So mm-hmm. to just be a great wrestler and to get you know, notoriety and to be everywhere, you better be one of the best. Outside of that, you really need that extra edge nowadays to carry you through to get you that next level.
Do you think there was that emphasis for a while though, that, you know, just being a great wrestler and you know, having all the moves and etc. was enough? Like, it seemed like it was that way for a little while, but now it seems that fans will probably change their minds at the, you know, drop of a hat, and it just seems that fans are sort of getting into characters a lot more now, but as long as they do have the great matches. Do you think that was kind of a thing that needed to, I guess, post-Attitude Era, when all of the over-the-topness kind of became a little passé, and, you know, Ring of Honor came up and, you know, stuff like that, and it kind of became more no-nonsense. Do you think that
I think it became a thing for a little while. I mean, it was a thing until, I don't know. I mean, watch that early FCW stuff when you have guys who you know now, like Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, just wearing trunks and wrestling as guys, you know, like they would have, like, their character was just like a piece of them. It wasn't really, there was no kind of gimmick attached to him, and a lot of guys back in that day, watch Bray Wyatt back then or whatever he was, just as Bo Rotundo, or no, he wasn't Bo Rotundo, that's Bo Dallas.
Yeah,
he was the other Rotundo, but he was just in trunks and he was just wrestling.
When he was IRS, I remember.
one of my favorite gimmicks, IRS. but considering that I don't pay any taxes, I shouldn't, you know, have him as my favorite character, but
I told you we're done talking about tax evasion, Pablo.
But there was that period, and it made me not watch WWE in particular as much, because they were kind of just bringing guys up with no impact and no sort of vignettes, and, you know, it's kind of, it got away from what I guess, in my mind, or I guess what in a lot of people's minds, what wrestling kind of is, and it kind of has to start with whether you like the character or not, because that is the first thing that you see. Like, with a...
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know,
People need to be able to attach themselves to whatever this character is, to whatever this person is, and whether it is a goofy character or whether it's just they can attach themselves to something now, that's good. Like Sean Spears is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Or what do they call him now?
Sean Knives.
Ty Dillinger.
Oh, Ty Dillinger.
Oh, Ty Dillinger.
Yeah. Man,
okay.
I was like really drawn a blank. But he toiled on the indies forever. He did was in the developmental. They brought him up as Gavin Spears.
Holy shit. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they released him. And then he came back, and now he's got this perfect 10 gimmick that is super duper over. And at the end of the day, he's always been a super talented dude. Super talented. But until there was something that separated him from, you know, everybody else, he was just a super talented dude.
Mm-hmm. Gavin Spears made it onto a WWE video game as well.
Oh,
what?
Oh.
Hold on. What? Spears made a video game and I didn't?
Yeah.
That is super bullshit.
That is bullshit, yeah. Have you seen people's create wrestlers of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think?
Oh, are you asking Dalton?
Well, both of you. I mean, but the thing is, Dalton has, you know, you can kind of have more fun making Dalton. Sorry, Colin.
No, I mean, a lot of people say you can have more fun with me over Colin all the time, so you're absurd.
No one's ever said that to you.
I don't know. My mom calls me all the time.
They said you're more fun to look at, but then you open your mouth.
Aww.
That's just from girls that I've dated. Isn't that sad? The girls I've dated are like, he's way better to look at, but man.
Boy, is he dull.
You can hold a conversation way better.
So were you the wingman, Colin?
No, I was the pickup Dalton Scraps guy.
Yeah, whatever I don't want. Because I don't know if you know this, I'm a huge freaking star, and I go out rolling deep with my boys, my homies.
Yeah, yeah.
Go out, and we'll go to
the
club.
He makes me wear the mask when we go out, though, so it's weird. He's like, yeah, I'm just rolling with my boys. Here, put this on.
Yeah, put this yellow dog mask on.
That's the mask I was talking about.
So we go to the back, you know, the bottle of the goose, you know, and then they bring the ladies back and the fellas, and I point at the ones I want, and then I
and then I wait till he's finished with those. I don't take the other ones. I want the ones after he's finished with them.
Yeah,
it's a requirement.
Yeah, it's, as I said yesterday, that's some next level friendship shit going on there.
Yeah,
hey, man,
it's beautiful. So,
what we do here in America?
me, and Dalton Castle used to live together in a house that the stairs were only for going up. If you wanted to go back down, you had to go out the window onto the trampoline.
Uh-huh. Oh boy, that house was dangerous for us. Kappa Kappa.
When we would have parties, we would set up an inflatable dinosaur bigger than the house in the front yard. Because we had an inflatable dinosaur that was bigger than the house that we would set up in the front yard.
I want to say my brother still has it.
Nice.
In the basement somewhere. You don't just get rid of a giant dinosaur.
He's like a family man. Oh, I remember when you brought it home. I was laying on the couch because I didn't do anything all during the week. And you were like, hey, they were cleaning out the storage locker at the radio station. I got a bunch of inflatables. You want to blow them up with me? And I was like, yup.
He didn't say what, though. It could have been inflatable.
No, we didn't know what it was.
Oh, okay.
We just saw that there was a tooth.
Yeah, and when it inflated to be a giant dinosaur with sunglasses and flip-flops on, couldn't be happier.
Bigger than the house.
Bigger than the house.
It was bigger than the house, and we set it up, and Jimmy was still at work, so he was the other guy who lived in the house who wasn't home yet. So we decided, let's tie it so the face is right at his window.
Oh, yeah.
He came home and we go, hey, you better go check your bedroom.
We reenacted Jurassic Park. The second one, of course.
He walked in the room and froze because, you know, the sight based on movement.
Yeah.
See, Jurassic Park was meant to be the first film that I ever saw at the cinema, and when I went, it sold out, so I went to see Dennis instead, and one of those films turned out to be a huge success. I didn't get to see Jurassic Park for like 10 years after that.
Dennis the Menace?
No, no, Dennis, Mr. Wilson.
The Daniel Stern vehicle?
No, Mr. Wilson, and you know.
Yeah, Dennis the Menace.
No, well, okay, it's just called Dennis the Menace over here is a different thing altogether. He's got like black hair, and he's got a little dog called Nasher, and you know. But Dennis is just Dennis with the blonde hair and the overalls and the you know.
Whoa, you just fucking blew my mind, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, don't tell anybody I said Daniel Stern when I meant to say Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd vehicle.
Yeah, don't tell anybody I said that.
So, yeah. Hey, go for it.
Kid, what you eating there?
Is that what he cuts the apple of his knife?
Yeah. That movie's great. If I had a choice right now, if you had a gun to my head and said, you have to watch one of these movies, Jurassic Park or Dennis the Menace, as we call it in America, I would pick Dennis the Menace all day.
Okay. See, it's just too weird that you called it Dennis the Menace because it's not. But okay.
Okay, what I think we already kind of put over, but you should realize, our American opinions are the only ones that matter.
Okay, and I'm outnumbered here, so yeah.
We call them tiny flies. You call them midges. So for the remainder of the conversation, we will call them tiny flies. We will not call them midges.
Okay,
I call them gnats with a silent G.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that's what those are called.
Yeah, we never use the word gnat over here. Gnat is short for Nathan over here.
Well, you're saying it wrong.
You're not pronouncing the silent G enough.
Yeah, it's gnat. Gnathan.
Yeah, we call them Nate.
Man, I hate Nates.
See, short for Nathaniel as well. We have that. Do you have that?
Oh yeah. Well, okay. that makes more sense. Nathan shortens to Nate.
Have we started the podcast yet?
No, actually, no. We're just about to start. No, this is. See, David Starr fought this as well. It was like, well, are we going to talk about my career at all? And it was just like. No, we're finished now. And
no offense to David, but when he started talking about meeting Bruno Sammartino, I was like, man, this is a real snoozer. When can we get back to talking about nonsense? He's talking about like the happiest wrestling moment of his life, and him and Pablo are very engaged in this conversation, and I was literally like twiddling my thumbs and like drawing or doodling and just, you know, doing that thing where I have my arms out and spinning in circles back and forth.
Did you see the
happiest moment of my wrestling career involves Colin, and it was preempted by the scariest moment when we were in West Virginia, and there was like a tag match we had, or was it 4-on-4 tag match?
Yep.
And Colin orchestrated this awesome match. We're outside in West Virginia. Those folks love wrestling, and I don't remember what happened, but we hit a bunch of WWE finishers. It was such a silly, I don't know, it was a silly match. Crowd loved it. We come in the back, and the guy who owned the company pulls us all into the hallway and goes, "Who put together that match?" Really angry, and he was like screaming at us like he was upset that he wasted all his money on us. And Colin steps forward and goes, "I put together that match." And he goes, "It's fucking awesome."
What he didn't preface was that everyone in that match was shitting their pants because I spent all day at the casino and did not get there until like a match before we were supposed to go on, and casually told all five of the other people exactly what we were going to do.
And it sounded like we were doing nothing.
And everyone was like still shitting their pants. And I was just so casually like, "Nope, we'll just do this, this, this. It's real easy, guys. I'll see you guys out there." Yeah. And it happened.
See, is that something that you see at a lot of smaller indie shows, like just using WWE finishing moves like a rock bottom or Stone Cold Stunner just to get that reaction? Like,
Well, you gotta understand why we didn't trust Colin is because his breath smelled like my Uncle Walter.
I won a lot of money at blackjack that afternoon. No, that's not right. Roulette.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, no, that's not right. I lost a lot of money.
No, I won a lot of money at roulette, but then I lost it all later. But yes, we were in this really this really small town in West Virginia, and like the wrestling show
was
like
the home of DJ Z.
Yes, the home of DJ Z, DJ Zima Ion, Newell, West Virginia, and the town is pretty whatever. We're wrestling like this old high school. Or
hold
like,
on. I think you're leaving out the fact that the world's largest teapot is in this town.
I was getting to it.
Oh.
Newell, West Virginia. I was going to bury the lead, but Dalton will just come right out with it. It's the home of the world's largest teapot.
See, I love shit like that, you know.
What, Bat? When people Dalton ruin stories, you love that?
Dalton has a t-shirt, and I think we have numerous pictures in front of it, but it's just like the town is a pretty beat up town for the most part. But there is this really nice casino and racetrack randomly in it, and that's where they would put us up to stay. So me and my good friend John McChesney decided to hang back and not go to the show immediately and instead go to the casino for a bit. And you know, when you're playing the games, the drinks are free, and when you're winning, you're just going to stick around and keep doing it. So we did, and we were like, oh, we should probably get to that show. We got to wrestle, and like, oh, the show started an hour ago. So we went there, but then we had probably the greatest match Newell, West Virginia has ever seen. And
you're welcome, Newell. Welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
So with any master wrestlers, do they just kind of go for the 619 as like a easy way to get
what kind of story do you think we were telling?
No,
did we say anything about a yellow Labrador? There was no master.
I just kind of hope that every story involves a yellow Labrador. Like, I feel like the story peaked at world's largest teapot. I was in teapot land.
Well, there was a yellow Labrador at my first grade bachelor party, but that's the last time I remember ever seeing a yellow lab.
Really?
See,
I'm glad that this important period of Brian Pillman's career has been celebrated on Turnchuckle.
Colin, you know, my wife has told me that I have a horrible tendency every time we walk by a stranger who's walking their dog to audibly say hello to the dog and not to the person.
That's not a bad habit. Why is that a bad habit?
Hello, puppy.
That's a fine habit.
Well, all right. Maybe screw the owner.
You have you have way worse habits. if that's the only thing your wife's getting on to you about, you're golden.
No, that's the only thing I choose to hear. I'm sure she's got other problems.
Dalton, did you see the logo for the show?
Oh, yeah, you texted it to me. I was too busy answering 1,000 emails to try to get into my Skype. For some reason, it's run by the FBI, I think. They really did not want me in here because I used a different email address last time. Oh, this is so good.
Do you like
the Animaniacs logo? I love it.
Excellent. Well, yeah, I think it freaked.
Yeah, you're Dot.
I'm Dot.
Yeah, it freaked Colin out a little bit. Like, are you fine with it now? Have you come to grips with it? Are you fine?
Well, when I first saw it, I was like, why do the Animaniacs look weird? And I was like, oh my god, that's us.
You're Yakko.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Wacko definitely pecks the snacks. Yakko plays the sax. And yeah, it's all good. See, it came about because
great TV show. Netflix.
Yeah, I've got the DVDs. I paid so fucking much for the DVDs and regretting that now because, you know.
I have all the Ren and Stimpy ones.
Oh, really? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Not the second run when they came back like in the 2000s, but
nobody has the second run.
Those ones are terrible.
Well, even Ren or Stimpy owns the second run.
Did you hear that Animaniacs is coming back? There is a very strong rumor.
Meh.
Do you not care? See, they've got so much material to work with, though.
The Ninja Turtles came back too.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good
I kind of like new Ninja Turtles.
Mm. Yeah, you would. eternal loving freak.
Oh yeah, see that. Okay, right. I've got two things now because we're gonna talk about the toxic turtles. And I think I blew Colin's mind with the toxic turtles.
Is this like the Dennis the Menace bullshit?
No.
No.
Oh, no. Well, I wanted to sort of go into how the logo came about. It's because me and my friend Lance were playing a game of trying to rhyme stuff with. Do you know the end of Animaniacs where they go, Animani, totally insane, something, 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 Animaniacs?
Colin Delaney.
Okay.
Yeah, we filmed it.
We did, and it's on the show. And we had the only other two that we had were Here Comes the Painy for Brock Lesnar, and That's Gotta Be Caney. So if you can come up with any more, I would love to hear them because I need to beat my friend Lance at this. But I think I've won with Colin Delaney, and he actually listened to that on loop a scary amount of times. But I love that it's in tune, Colin. You can obviously.
My name's Paul Haney.
Brett's not really good at word games or spelling or reading or.
But I can suplex father sucker.
That's one of those. You're gonna have to edit that out. Where over his actual name, you edit into Dalton.
Oh, eh.
I knew I was gonna do it too. I knew it. I held myself back so well.
You just wanted everybody to know how good of friends we are.
Shit.
See,
he's got a Wikipedia. You want to know his real name? Go look it up.
This is true.
Identity.
And if you want to know his social security number or address, just email me.
See,
I don't have my address. I just moved. You gotta come. You gotta come.
I was just gonna give him Monster's address, anyways.
that was the old house we lived in. So Pablo.
Sorry, Toxic Turtles.
Toxic Turtles. Yeah, we should. Yeah, because we will wrap.
You want to talk about Toxic Turtles and not my brother coming home and jumping on us?
We could talk about.
No, I do not want to talk about. I do not want to be traumatized again.
See, and doing
a lot of therapy
in doing research as well. I listened to the Sam Roberts interview, and Colin gets name dropped. Yeah, it's all good. Sam Roberts knows Colin Delaney.
Yeah, of course Colin gets name dropped. He's a big part of my life. Why wouldn't he?
No, absolutely. And
you, Pablo, I'll never speak of you again.
See, what I was thinking was, you know, when you inevitably get hired by WWE, you just mention Turnchuckle to Vince, and then he brings it on as a podcast, as a network show, and then, you know.
What's Turnchuckle? That's some sort of sexual thing?
He's into it.
Yeah. See, Turnchuckle as well is. We should have the copyright on that because no one else has used it, but I have the feeling that no one else will want to use it. So I think we may be fine with that.
That's fine.
Yeah. See, if it starts making
probably get on it soon, though.
Yeah.
Like turnbuckle. I get it.
Uh-huh. You see?
Crazy.
Did you see the first logo of Colin and myself killing Donk the Clown and Giant Gonzalez?
I did. Already dead people. That was very classy.
Here's the thing. I didn't realize when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's funny. And then he pointed out to me, and I was like, oh, that's less funny.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, but have you seen the trailer for the 2K18 game where Seth Rollins decapitates the head of Andre the Giant?
No.
Is that how he died?
I think that's how he died. He starts smashing up like old artifacts, like the Million Dollar Belt, and you know.
No idea.
Yeah, and then he decapitates Andre the Giant's head, and it's like buy the game, and I'm just like, but like I do buy it mainly for Legends. Like I was 2K14 had Virgil as DLC, and I was probably more excited about that than any man probably should be. He was free; you didn't have to pay for him, which you know. But I got my money's worth out of him.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's is free.
Mm-hmm. So, where were we going with any of that? I don't know. Toxic Turtles.
Something about the Beatles.
Yellow Dog and Toxic Turtles. Yeah, so I blew Colin's mind, I think. I like to think I did. With the tag team that made one appearance in 1993. It was Dwayne Gill and Barry Hardy as the Toxic Turtles. And the story is Dwayne Gill was backstage with a turtle costume on doing spinneroonies and spinning around on his shell. And Vince walks past and goes, who the hell's that? And he takes the thing off and it was Yellow Dog underneath. It was Dwayne Gill. And he was like, well, have you got two costumes? And he was like, yep. And he's like, you're going to wear that shit to the ring. And it was only on a dark show, but it's going to be on the unreleased matches DVD. And I don't care what anyone says. If I'm the only person excited about this shit, then so be it. But I cannot wait.
And can I tell you something there, Pablo?
Is it
beaten Dwayne Gill and Bad Boy Barry Hardy in a tag match with my tag partner Will Calrissian?
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. That is a true fact.
See, beat their pants off.
See, I don't know how to feel about that now. Cause...
Did the Toxic Turtles beat Jobbers?
Yeah, they must have. Well, I don't... Yeah.
Well, that's like a tear in the universe.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Crazy.
Yeah. And Colin, I don't want to like sort of do any verbal contract shit, but you did say that you know Barry Hardy, and there's a possibility he may be a future guest, maybe. So I want to get I want to get his side of the Toxic Turtles.
He's available.
I'll mention it now because I definitely won't mention it when we have Barry on, but one time me and Barry Hardy went to a local inner city elementary school and talked about anti-bullying together. I don't want to bring it up when he's on because I don't want to have to ever speak of it again at length of any sort. So I'll bring it up now because if I bring it up with him, he might want to actually talk about it, and I don't.
Oh, really? Was that like some shit that affected him from school or something? Did he get bullied?
Guys, I just looked at my phone. I have Bad Boy Barry Harder and Gilbert's number in my phone. No big deal.
See, this is what Turnchuckle's been leading to, you know, Toxic Turtles. They would have to be fine with being announced as the Toxic Turtles, though.
Yeah, we would not want to interview and speak with Dwayne Gill or Barry Hardy. We are just very interested in talking to Michelangelo and Schmianardo, the Toxic Turtles.
This is very exciting. Like I say, with podcasts, you can be as niche as you like, and you know, that one person who'll tune in to listen to the Toxic Turtles interview, it could be me. Like, I'll just listen to it back, but you know, that'll be fine. I'll be excited about that.
It'll be a completely different one person than the one person that listens to the Dalton Castle episode.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. This is why we need to be on the network, because we are already the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. You know, I didn't want to say that, but I think, you know, I think it goes without saying that we are. we are the most organized. We go into
stay on topic. God. We talk about relevant things to the world of professional wrestling.
Who wants to
like the Toxic Turtles and my first grade bachelor party?
Yeah. There's so many talking about things that are going on now, and there are so many podcasts that just review old shit. You know, I like the idea of just like, you know, two people talking about wrestling as they would if they were high. I swear I'm not high.
Ron Funches has that show.
Oh, okay. See, that's the thing. It's hard to be original. It's hard to be original with podcasts, which is why I
hard to be original when you're high.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you doing the podcast because you're probably regretting it now.
Yeah, I am. Big time. I left the gym early. I got to go back where as soon as this ends.
Oh, my God. Listen, shrinking. Your muscles are fine.
No! They're not!
You're a fucking baby.
You're a baby.
That's
I got you good.
You're fucking baby shit. That's all I got.
And this is all the build up we need for a big clash on some show.
Yeah. We've done it many, many times. One time, somewhere actually paid me to be ECW Colin Delaney to wrestle Dalton Castle, which was super unnecessary, and I super didn't like doing it, but I did it.
When you say ECW Colin Delaney, did you have to go out in rib tape and...
Yes.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Yes.
Okay.
That's super weird.
Where did this happen?
At that Wrestling Geek Fest, you fucking...
Oh, are you talking about the one where we were in the pool until our music played?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, this podcast also really does not make us seem like very professional of wrestlers.
Well, again,
I was at a casino.
Swimming and Colin was drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
See,
I wasn't drunk for that one. Yeah. I might have been. Was I?
I don't know. I'm not you.
But, I mean, you remember me better than me, mostly. Like, I was very, very impressed by your retelling of our history. It was really very impressive to me.
Which one?
Earlier when you were going across our history of first grade till now. I was like, man, he's on this story pretty hard. I'm not even going to interject because he's going for it.
See, and Tenchuckle's now the definitive podcast for that story. Like, anyone else who asks those questions will be like, come on, you know, you should have done some research and listened to Tenchuckle, and you would have known this shit anyway.
Well, you have already heard it.
Honestly, I don't do many other podcasts. If they're on the phone or through Skype like this, I just say no. I don't like doing it, but because this is Colin's thing, I will do it in a heartbeat. Anything for a friend, but man, I hate talking over like the phone and stuff in the interviews. I need to be in the room with somebody.
It does make podcasts hard because I am tripping over you right now as well. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, I appreciate anyone who does any of the podcasts that I do because, again, it's hard, there are so many wrestling podcasts, and I'm sure wrestlers are probably sick to death of being asked to do podcasts, especially when they get asked the same questions over and over again. Like, I don't know how you feel about that.
Oh, yeah, that's the only annoying part, because some of them you just can tell by right from the way that they ask that it's not going to be enjoyable. But sometimes it's surprising. You agree to do something, and then people will go off topic. That's something you never really talked about, and it's a question that they can't get the answer to by looking at a different interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, the redundancy sucks, but also the idea that somebody wants to talk to you and learn more about you, that'll never get old. That's always great. So I never lose track of that. I'm always grateful for that. Because when the offers stop coming, that's when you need to worry.
And Dalton's charm doesn't come through as well through the phone.
Right? You should see me. I'm so adorable right now, the way I'm sitting with my chin on top of my balled up fist.
We saw you earlier. What people don't know is we almost tried to record this as some kind of weird TP of our faces on video, but it was going to be real miserable, so we didn't.
Yeah, the weather as well. I'm gassed and I'm sweaty the fuck as well. So, you know, no one wants to see that stuff. Like, that would be some weird fetish shit going on there. for someone to want to see that. That's the thing.
You made it weird, man. You made it weird.
Well, that's
you Pete Holmes it, man. Pete Holmes it hard.
Pete Holmes the shit out of it.
Well, I like to think that wrestling fans have no base level of, you know, taste. So, you know, when it comes to offending people, so it's all good.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dalton, you follow a great lineage of Pablo's Poppin' podcast and Turnchuckle guests, including Ahmed Johnson.
What?
Yeah, great interview with Ahmed Johnson. He was, you know, you had to take him at, you know, at face value and not argue with
Pablo,
him.
Pablo.
What?
Tell him why Ahmed Johnson said he wears his knee pads on his thighs.
Okay, do you want to guess?
Is it because he likes things that are symmetrical?
That's it? No, it's not. It's because when he...
Because his big old dong sometimes flops out, and if it hits him in the thighs, it hurts?
He did tell me off the record that he had a 12-inch penis. And I was just like, well, okay, fair enough.
I knew it.
Yeah. No, he did actually tell me that. But
classic Ahmed.
No, it's because he said that he injured people with his scissor kick. So that he had to... Yeah.
What a bullshit reason.
Do you want to guess why he wore red? This isn't as anywhere near of an entertaining thing, but it's because of his favorite wrestler.
Oh, his favorite wrestler, the Dark Scorpion.
His favorite wrestler,
yeah, he wore
Yokozuna.
Red. No. Black Scorpion's probably closer, but
hold on, let's figure out. Oh, I said dark, didn't I? Red.
His Hulk favorite Hogan. Wrestler. Ooh, El Matador.
no, but there should have been that. No.
Is his favorite wrestler Sami Zayn?
Yes, it is. No, it's not. No.
His favorite wrestler. Ooh, Spider-Man. That's a good one.
No, Fing's sort of big meathead from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yokozuna. We already said it.
Yeah. Nailed it. On the head.
No,
big meathead.
Yeah.
Dino Bravo?
No. You wore red.
I know, but I just can't think of anybody who's a big meathead who wore red.
Toxic Turtles?
Should I just tell you? Because this will be painful.
No, this is fun.
Okay.
Don Morocco?
No, he wasn't ever in WWF or WWE.
Oh. Dick Justice.
Dr. Death Steve Williams?
Nope.
Oh, wait, he was.
He was.
Terry Gordy?
No.
Giant Baba?
No.
This Ole Anderson.
No. Do you really think Ole Anderson influenced?
That's a good guess. That was a good ass guess.
Do you think he influenced Ahmed Johnson though?
Yeah.
You
know a bunch.
Yeah.
You know Ole did the voice of the Black Scorpion.
Come on.
What?
I did know that actually.
Okay. I was hoping to get you with one of those facts, but
did you say never in WCW?
No, never in WWF.
Never in WWF.
Yeah.
A big meathead.
It's probably unfair to call him a big meathead, to be fair, but he...
Was it my dad?
Is your dad Nikita Koloff?
Yes! Wow.
Nikita Koloff, that's a really strange one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, the type of questions that I ask, you know, not like, you know, about the racism that he, you know, encountered backstage. And so I was just like, why'd you wear red? And he was just like, you know, I'm glad you asked that. And I managed to get an hour and a half out of those that top caliber questions. Like, I interviewed Rick Bogner, the fake Razor Ramon. And I was just like, did you have to wear some of Scott Hall's gear? And he was just like, no, I got some made up. And, you know, and it's just a frill ride from there, basically.
you just can't put it down.
No, see, and yeah. I've interviewed Jameson. See, this, you know, tell you, man, no one has these kind of guests apart from maybe Colt Cabana. But you know,
I did an autograph signing event about a year ago in New York City, and the tables were so close together that every time somebody wanted to take a picture, I had to get up and slide by somebody who was sitting like perpendicular to my table, and I would hit them with my hip and my butt in the back of the head every time, and that person was Nikita Koloff. Oh. Yeah. I don't think he liked it.
Did he have the chain with him? Was he ready?
But he did never kill me. He didn't.
Oh, that's awesome. See, okay, so I'm going to embarrass my friend here, but what is the most embarrassing fan interaction that you've ever had?
Sometimes people want to come in for a hug and they don't expect me to say no.
Oh, really?
That's always awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dalton doesn't really like affection.
Mm-mm. I wasn't loved as a child. I mean, it's hard to want to embrace somebody's love when you grew up living in your uncle's house, living in a closet underneath the stairs, thinking you were different.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, one time a girl made a YouTube video of me. I think I might have said this before, but where she puts pictures of me and her with some 50s music behind it, and then the video ends, and an atomic bomb goes off, and then there's a picture of me dead. One time a girl created a video where she kills me with an atomic bomb at the end.
See, I would like
you
to
know,
I would like
that.
Go for it.
Yo, Colin, do you remember the title of that video? Because I remember the video, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was called OMG, What Have You Done to Me?
Yeah, but didn't you say
your name's not even in it?
No, my name's nowhere in it. My older brother Ed would find things on the internet randomly. I don't know how. I'd never even ask. But he randomly like stumbled across that video.
Didn't you say that OMG was spelled O H E M G E E sort of thing?
Yeah, something like that. I've tried to find it again, but I can't come up with it.
So yeah, if we ever find it, it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
It still exists on YouTube. So if anybody's listening, help.
That's quite a literal question. If anyone is listening,
help.
So yeah, and with my friend Lance, I'm going to completely embarrass. His favorite wrestler is Kevin Nash, and he has a nickname for him. He just called, you know how he's called Big Sexy. Well, he just calls him Big Nashy. And he wanted him to sign shit with as Big Nashy, and asked him that, and he was just like, "No, I'm not going to be doing that." and then he, to be fair, because I'm a big nerd, I got him to sign my Diesel Pog Slammer board.
Nice.
Oh yeah, shit yeah. And he signed it as Diesel WWF Champion, because you know I don't want to sign Kevin Nash. Fuck that.
No.
It has to be you know, accurate. And he shook his hand and told him that he is glad that he is alive. And Kevin Nash was very scared.
I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah. That's a great thing to say to people when you meet them.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm real glad you're alive.
What?
Nothing,
why?
Nothing, man. Nothing.
What? Hey, where are you going?
Keep doing you for another couple hours.
But what? But for a couple hours.
So, yeah, so I think this might be the first episode of Turn Chuckle that might have to be heavily edited, but it'll be fine. And I'm really glad that Dalton risked his reputation and career by coming onto the show. And, yeah, and thank you, Colin, for
being... Can I swear on this?
Of course you can.
Okay, ready? Diane Keaton.
Hey, Dalton, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I should probably ask that.
Oh, yeah. You can go to my Twitter, at TheDaltonCastle. You can also go to my website, which is www.DaltonFoldsLaundry.com. It's a webcam that it's on 24/7.
Dalton folds a lot of laundry.
And my Instagram, which is at None of Your Goddamn Business.
And Colin, where can you be found coming up? Because you do have shows coming up.
Same places. I'm usually on Dalton's laundry feed. yeah, I mean, you can find me at Extremely Cute on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I probably won't add you if I don't know who you are, but you could try.
Really? Yeah, I added you.
It happens.
Okay.
Sometimes people slip through the cracks. yeah, you know, just type my name into Google. You'll probably find me.
Mm-hmm. And the main question that everyone wants to know is, how do you keep your jumpsuit clean?
I just get a new one every show.
Okay.
Tear them out.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for being on the show. And you can like the show on Podbean. Do check out the sponsors. Subscribe on iTunes. All that crazy shit. And me and Colin, we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.